Hey friends, welcome back to this week's episode of Fit Friends Happy Hour. Today, I want to talk about energy because I firmly believe, I know, there's a way that intuitive eating can actually help you have more energy so you can chase your kids, you can be a boss at work, really just conquer your day feeling like your best, most vibrant self. And if you're new here, welcome. Our mission is to empower women to overcome their need to measure success by the numbers and start owning their strengths and confidence from within. What that means to you is we help women with a history of disordered eating and exercise obsession find fierce food freedom and body confidence. We do this through heart-centered, evidence-based, one-on-one and group nutrition counseling that utilizes the fundamental principles of intuitive eating and mindful movement. We also deliver free educational content via social media, our weekly newsletter, and of course, the Fit Friends Happy Hour, which is also now on YouTube. If you want more weekly non-diet inspiration, recipes, and more, go to katiehake.com/newsletter. Welcome to Fit Friends Happy Hour, the podcast where we help you redefine the word fit so you can stop quantifying and start living. I'm your non-diet dietitian, personal trainer, and host, Katie. Join me each week for solo episodes and expert interviews where self-care meets science. Whether you're a group fitness front row diva or just starting out on your wellness journey, whether you choose oat milk or full fat in your latte, all foods, all backgrounds, and all bodies are welcome here as you embark on your non-diet journey. Today, we're going to go through the top five energy zappers, in my opinion, no particular order, but I firmly believe if you can get these top five things under control, if you can conquer and manage these or minimize some of these symptoms, you are going to have significantly more energy throughout your day. The first one is dieting drama. I say drama because I think everything about going on a diet can be dramatic. It feels like it overtakes your life. It's just big. It's loud. There's so much that goes along with it. Physically, the preparation of being on a diet, mentally, all those things. Specifically, when it comes to restricting or chronically skipping meals or chronically imbalanced meals, those can definitely disrupt blood sugar regulation, which can lead to energy crashes. Now, it's not so much one individual food group, but it's the inconsistency of eating patterns over time, which can lead to the fatigue. A 2020 study published in the journal Nutrients found a strong link between consistent meal patterns and not just improved energy levels, but also cognitive function and mood. And, you know, honestly, I don't think we need a research paper to tell us that. I think maybe just from your own lived experience, you probably notice days where you're eating irregularly, life is crazy, you're not paying attention to those cues, that you don't have the energy to sustain you through the day. Now, of course, prioritizing whole foods like fruits, vegetables, whole grains, protein, that's helpful for sustained energy. And this is so much easier when you have a healthier relationship with food. The second energy zapper is skimping on your sleep. Deep sleep is so crucial for energy restoration, for cognitive function. But here's the thing, skimping on sleep isn't just about feeling tired the next day. Chronic sleep deprivation can have a major impact on your health. And I'm also saying this like smiling, laughing, wanting to just like shut my laptop because I have an 11-month-old and LOL, sleep is just, it is what it is. And that's in the season of life. And I'm going to talk more about this later, but there's a list of things. And when it comes to our health, it's not just about one particular item. So chronic sleep deprivation, right? Regardless of your situation, we know that it can impact your immune system. Those who get less sleep are more likely to get sick. It increases your ghrelin, your hunger hormones. So you crave more energy-dense foods, typically those simple carbohydrates, fat, for the quick bursts of energy. And then, of course, the impact on your mental health. Going back to what I was saying with my 11-month-old and going through these ebbs and flows of good sleep, not so good sleep. I mean, I totally can speak firsthand that when we are going through a stretch of like a sleep regression and he's not sleeping well, wow, I feel more anxious. I feel more moody, more irritable. But there is research that shows that less sleep or poor quality sleep can actually worsen some of those symptoms of anxiety, depression. And that also just feeds into, you know, whether or not you have a diagnosis or not, the mental health aspect, that increased symptoms of that anxiety and depression, it can feed into the negative thought patterns around food and body, which is also very mentally draining. So it really is kind of feeds into just that whole diet cycle. Now, if you are interested, send me a DM. I'll do another episode on sleep because it's something I personally right now in this season am constantly working on, controlling the controllable. Like I said, I can't control whether or not my baby sleeps through the night. Like, you can only do so much with that. But I can control things like my phone usage, when I actually get into bed, alcohol consumption, like the consistency, right, over time is really what makes the impact. So the dieting drama, skimping on your sleep, and then of course, this kind of rolls into this next one, is chronic stress. Now, when we say chronic, I'm talking not just a day, a week, like even a month, like probably longer, you know, a few weeks, few months. For some people, chronic means a few years. It really depends on your situation. But chronic stress can lead to elevated cortisol. That's the stress hormone, which basically keeps you in fight or flight, activating your sympathetic nervous system. If that sympathetic nervous system is always turned on and revved on, it's going to make it really difficult to have quality sleep. It's going to disrupt your sleep. It's going to disrupt those hunger hormones. A 2023 study in the Journal of Women's Health specifically found a significant association between chronic stress and fatigue in women. Again, I don't think we need a research study. I think you've probably been through seasons of your life where you've been chronically stressed, maybe when you were a college student, maybe when you were, you know, a new grad out of school and working your first job, or we've all been through different seasons where you feel it. You feel that stress, you feel that signs and symptoms of burnout, and that leads to the physical fatigue and feeling tired for sure. This is why we work on a lot of self-care and just stress in all aspects, but especially as it relates to food in our nutrition coaching program, because what I've found is that if this is constantly elevated in clients, it's going to be very difficult to connect with your body and get in tune with what your body is telling you. I have one client in particular who, you know, it took some time for me, I saw it right away, but for her, it took some time to realize, like, no, it's not that you cannot do intuitive eating. It is you have so many other stressful things going on in your life, particularly work environment that's toxic, you know, relationships around you. That's what's making it difficult for you to connect with your body. It's nothing about you and, you know, your ability to grasp these concepts. That's not the issue. The issue is you have so much stress in these other areas of your life that you're constantly at that fight or flight mode that your body's just not going to relax. And that's something that you can't always turn off overnight. It takes time. It takes intentionality. And again, it can be exacerbated through the physical body. Common sources of stress, work stress, relationships, conflicts, financial worries. Exercise can also be a physical stressor, which I'm going to talk about in a minute. There's so many things that we can do, so many areas of life where you may be experiencing stress, positive stress, right? Let's say you have a new job, a promotion, it's really exciting. It's still stress. So keep that in mind. Again, recognize we're not going to fix everything overnight, but are there a few things, kind of the lowest hanging fruit that feels like, okay, I could start with that and I could be consistent with that a few things over time versus having to change it all at once, right? That all or nothing mentality, you're going to be much more successful. And I always joke with clients, it's like we use a food and mood journal, or they have a workbook and they have access to online modules to work through. I always tell them, like, that is not meant to add more stress. The minute you come to session and you are stressed because you didn't get to watch your module this week, like, no, you're missing the point. That is not the point. So one thing at a time, make it manageable. I mentioned exercise as a physical stressor. So movement can be an energy zapper in two different ways. The first way is the sedentary lifestyle. Energy begets energy. Sitting for long periods of time actually slows down our circulation. It reduces oxygen delivery to the cells. And maybe if you've yawned, right? A yawn is the body trying to get oxygen into the body. That is a symptom of being tired. And so what's awesome is that now research shows that any short bursts of activity breaks, or you maybe have heard the term exercise snacks, can actually improve energy levels, your mood, your cognitive function. They used to say, I think it was like 5-10 minutes at a time, you know, that's the minimum you have to do. But now it's like, no, you can do any burst of mood. 30 seconds, that's better than nothing, which is amazing and really should be encouraging that just that anything is better than nothing. So when you're talking about, on the flip side, overtraining, right? That constant stress on the body, whether you're doing a lot of high intensity interval training or you're training for a marathon or a lot of heavy lifting, like whether it's volume, whether it's intensity, both of those can be a lot of stress on the body. Again, you're activating that fight or flight, that sympathetic nervous system. So one thing I'll recommend with clients is focusing more on what we call NEAT, or non-exercise activity thermogenesis, incorporating more movement into daily routines, such as, you know, taking regular walk breaks up to stretch or go for walks, or engaging in just exercise activities that energize both the body and the mind. I love when movement can be really dual purpose, whether that's, you know, for me, sometimes it is cycling on my stationary bike and knocking out my emails. Would I have preferred to do a different workout that would have like energized me and, you know, been really fun? Yes. And the inbox was also stressing me out. Do I do that all the time? No, there's a mix. But, you know, anytime you can incorporate movement in a way that's going to support you in other aspects of your life, it absolutely 100% should, in my opinion. The last energy zapper I want to talk about today is hydration. Even mild hydration, as little as 1-2% of your body weight, can lead to fatigue, headaches, difficulty concentrating, because about 60% of your body is made from water. It keeps all your body systems working, you know, keeps things moving well. However, you lose water throughout the day with normal body processes, such as making urine, bowel movements, you know, sweating as the body's way to try to cool down the body. And you typically get about 20% of the water that you need from the food that you eat. A lot of people ask, well, how much water should I drink and what's the recommended? And there are a lot of variables depending on the individual, depending on, you know, your history, what your goals are, like if you're breastfeeding, there's so many different things. So I love the quick and easy way to check if you're getting enough water overall is to take a peek at the color of your pee. If you're consuming enough, your pee will be like a pale yellow. I know, TMI, but not really. It's not that weird. We all have to pee. If it's a dark yellow or more of like an amber color, that's a sign, okay, I need to increase the amount of water that I consume. Send me a DM. I was going to talk about caffeine, but I thought, I'm kind of could open up a can of worms there. And there's a lot more that we can go on to caffeine specifically. So send me a DM if you want me to do a podcast specifically on caffeine intake, because there is so much to unpack there. And I would also love to do a podcast talking about electrolytes and minerals, because I think that is really hypey right now. You're seeing a lot of products out there like Liquid IV, LMNT. Gosh, there's just so many different hydration things. And I think from a consumer standpoint, it can be overwhelming. Like, do I actually need that? Is that for me? Gatorade, like all the things. So if you're interested in that, let me know and I'll bump that up to the top of the schedule. I would love to see if you could identify your own energy drains and implement one action this week to reclaim your vitality, reclaim your well-being, and just have a little more pep in your step. Send me a DM and let me know what you decide. Thanks for listening to this episode of Fit Friends Happy Hour. If you liked this episode, don't forget to share it with a friend. You can subscribe or follow wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at Fit Friends Happy Hour. Talk to you next time.